This is the Civic Roundup for September 6th, 2023, with Mark West covering the Asheville Downtown Commission's regular meeting held on August 25th, 2023, at which the Downtown Commission recommended a PAC Plaza Plat. The Asheville Downtown Commission voted unanimously to recommend the adoption of the PAC Square Plaza Vision Plan at their regular monthly meeting. This plan outlines a vision for improving accessibility, sharing history, and better connecting PAC Square Plaza to surrounding areas. The Downtown Commission provides City Council with recommendations on downtown policies and programs. In addition, Downtown Commissioners fill 4 out of 9 seats of the City's Design Review Committee, which reviews development projects within the Central Business District, the River Arts District, and hotel projects outside of those areas. The Downtown Commission provides input on development projects outside of the scope of design review, including impacts related to land use, economic development, parking, public space, safety, sustainability. The PAC Square Plaza Vision Plan was presented by Stephanie Monsendahl, Asheville Planning and Urban Design Director. She provided background that the plan was created through community engagement and addresses issues like improving accessibility and inclusivity. The plan suggests creating new vendor spaces, a meditation area, and better connecting PAC Square Plaza to nearby areas like the block. Stephanie Monsendahl, Asheville Planning and Urban Design Director, presented the PAC Square Plaza Vision Plan.
If you look closer at this picture, there are some issues, and there are some things that are invisible. This was taken by one of the La Quatra Bonsi staff after the project was first completed 20-something years ago. And you'll see that you can tell by what the trees look like and all of that. But at that point, standing behind you would have been a 70-foot-tall granite obelisk, which our community decided to take down. And we know that that was a divisive memorial that suggested that a certain group had power and that we had a lot of discussions. There are other about whether or not it should come or go. There are other memorials and monuments in this park. There are several, just a Thomas Wolfe right to the right of you. On the left, there's a space that's not really activated and could be used better. What you don't see in this cleverly crafted photo is that really you're sitting in between two streets that were built for automobiles. And that beautiful grove to, you know, in the middle ground and to the left with the river birches, that's not ADA accessible. So there's actually room for improvement in our most important central public space. And that is why we went out a year ago and said that we were going to reimagine Asheville Central Square. It didn't need to be wholesale changed, but we wanted to work with the community and figure out how we could make it more welcoming and inclusive. And we put together a team with the county that's a partnership, and McAdams, who have some specialty in parks, especially being led by project manager Mitchell Silver, who ran New York City's Parks Department. And we did a pretty interesting public engagement process with a lot of focus groups. And you can see we had input, like, actually in place. We did tours. And we collected what we heard, and we created a draft plan. So that plan is now under review, and what we're here today is to ask you to make a recommendation to Planning and Zoning and City Council about whether or not that plan should be adopted. And I want to take a pause here and tell you what being adopted as a master plan means in the state of North Carolina. It means it's a guiding document. It means that the elected body is accepting that this is a consensus-ish. There's no such thing as consensus across all people. The best case consensus that we can get for a vision for a specific place or specific issue in our community, it means that there are suggested items to do that might affect policy, that our elected officials should stand up and take note of, and that to the best of our abilities, we're going to use this document when we make changes moving forward. And that's all it means. It doesn't commit us to spending a dime. It doesn't commit us to doing things exactly as they are written. But it helps serve as a historical record of, like, this moment in time, this is what we thought would be a really good thing to do. So we took that public engagement that we heard, the 10 themes, and we took, like, 25 drawings that y'all came up with in January with the community, And we came up with a really simple concept plan. And it basically says four things. It says, make the space more usable and accessible to people. Provide new experiences and new amenities. Keep sharing our history, but address past harm. And make some connections to the block. Make that invisible piece visible. And you could see by this concept diagram in the center, we amalgamated all of the different potential design ideas into a more general concept that says, we all agreed that that space on the north of the plaza really should be activated, and that by creating new vendor spaces for people, maybe like with more permanent kiosks, we could probably address some issues of entrepreneurship, growing our downtown sector maybe with more diverse businesses. And then also there's some public safety aspects to this as well, as we all know that an activated space is a safer space. On the right-hand side where those river birches were, there's this idea about doing a meditation grove or a place for reflection, and it might even be an opportunity to name or talk about some of the harms that have happened in these public spaces in the past and make it be more of a place for healing. On the southeast corner, that is our direct connection to the block. We can work on a cultural corridor that knits these two places together and makes things more unified. And then you'll see in the center, the idea here is to just say, let's not just have one kind of racetracky median. Let's really kind of think of this as one place. If you looked, you know, from an aerial photo, and I think I don't have one. I have one in here. If you look on your materials, there are a lot of slides that are not being shown today. But at minimum, there's about 0.6 acres of space if you include those streets. If you start including the plaza for Pack Square that includes West Pack Square and the space in front of the Art Museum, it's over an acre and a half of public space for people right in the heart of our downtown. So this plan is saying maybe we should be using it a little bit better. And here are 10 design ideas for which we can pick and choose, implement over time, 1 to 20 years, and really solve some of the issues and address some of the themes that the community came up with. So I mentioned a couple of them, but I think you guys have gone through this before.
The plan outlines 10 potential design ideas to improve the plaza, including creating new vendor kiosks and spaces on the north side of the plaza to support local businesses and entrepreneurs, adding a meditation garden or reflection area with opportunities to acknowledge past harms in public spaces. This would be located where there are currently river birch trees that are not ADA accessible. Developing a cultural corridor to better connect Pack Square Plaza to the block, an adjacent historic African-American business district. Consolidating the fractured public spaces into more of a unified whole, taking into account the surrounding streets and making the invisible connections more visible. Providing unified signage, lighting, and amenities to tie the surrounding spaces together. Redesigning the space to improve accessibility, safety, and usability by all people. Continuing to share history and address past harms through storytelling, public art, and other installations, the plan emphasizes maximizing public benefit, supporting local businesses, improving accessibility and safety, and telling a more holistic story of the plaza's history. If adopted, the plan would serve as a guiding document for future changes, policies, and investments related to Pack Square Plaza over the next 20 years. It does not commit any funding, but would inform how grants and other resources are utilized. The commission heard from Kimberly Smith, a representative of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians appointed by the Principal Chief's office. She acknowledged the ancestral homelands of the Cherokee and emphasized the opportunity to strengthen government-to-government relations. Smith stated the tribe supports design ideas that promote diversity, inclusion, and connections to nature. Smith, who was appointed by the Principal Chief's office, spoke on the plan.
Shionagad, Osta Shunale, Gimiguela Shimini Dalgodon, Aya Ani Katua, Nole Elowodi Osiho, Nole Aniwaya Gangayu. Hello and good morning, everyone. My name is Kimberly Smith. I'm a member of the Ani Katua, known today as the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians. I am a member of the Yellow Hill community, and I am a member of the Wolf Clan. So I want to say thank you for giving me the space to speak today. And I want to just acknowledge that I serve on this advisory committee as a representative for the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians. I was appointed to this committee by the Office of the Principal Chief. So I want to acknowledge before my statement that we convene here today on the ancestral homelands of the Cherokee people. We've been here since time immemorial. So when I speak to you today, I don't just speak to give my own opinion. I speak on behalf of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians government, its 17,000 plus citizens, and the hundreds of thousands of ancestors that now rest in the dirt where the city is built. I just want to pause to give space to that. In 1797, this land was proclaimed Asheville for 1,000 residents and enslaved people. Excluding from the onset, my ancestors and the thousands of descendants that still live here. For tens of thousands of years before that, this land was known to the Cherokee people as Goti Yadsti. In English translation, that means the place where they race. So this was once an indigenous gathering place, a place for indigenous nation-to-nation commerce and exchange, and a place for culture and community to thrive. And that's just the basis of one civilization this land has witnessed. The city of Asheville has before it an opportunity to transform how a city acknowledges its past, uplifts its residents, and presents itself to the world. We appreciate the city's inclusion of EBCI as an advisor, and we hope that the city looks at this project as we do, an opportunity to invest in cultivating a stronger government-to-government relationship with the Eastern Band. In addressing the details of this PAC Square vision, the EBCI appreciates the 10 design ideas and the overall vision. We support heavily the design ideas that uplift and strengthen diversity, inclusion, and a better connection to the natural environment. We recognize that this project is in its infancy and want to continue providing support and engagement as the next steps are discussed and pathways are created to realizing this vision. We encourage the city to use this project as a vehicle to expand the city's image, to give a balanced narrative to all the identities that have, continue, and will call Goti Yadsti home.
After discussion, the Downtown Commission unanimously recommended adoption of the plan. The recommendation will go to Asheville Planning and Zoning Commission and City Council for consideration. The Downtown Commission also received an update that the city recently held a public meeting and launched an online survey to gather input on the site configuration for a new public restroom facility downtown. The proposed location is a property on College Street near Rankin Avenue. The survey closes soon, and the city will consider the public feedback as it finalizes plans for the new restroom facility. In addition, the city is updating its outdoor dining program regulations. A key change is allowing restaurants to utilize on-street public parking spaces for outdoor dining areas known as streeteries. Other updates include new permit fees based on the amount of space used, requirements to keep furniture out of sidewalks when closed, and an annual inspection process. The goal is to better support outdoor dining while protecting public spaces. Dana Frankel from the City of Asheville Planning Department presented updates on the outdoor dining program.
We have been working across departments collaboratively on this for quite some time. As I think you all are aware, those who participate on the Public Space Management Committee have gotten to see some of this back in the spring, but happy to be here today as we move through the formal process to approve some updates to our outdoor dining program. So you also are aware the city manages various uses of public space, including private uses of public space. We recognize that this type of activation really contributes to a safe and welcoming environment, and at the same time, there's opportunities to maximize public benefit and to improve the way that programs like this are managed. And with that, going into our outdoor dining program updates, we have set out to achieve some goals. I'm going to go over those. That is to support a welcoming, safe, and active environment, to improve the application review and enforcement process, to prioritize mobility and access for all, including those with disabilities, transition elements of the AVL ShareSpace temporary program that was launched during COVID, continue to support the success and resilience of Asheville's local economy, more appropriately account for the value of commercializing public space through an updated fee structure, which you will see, and promote multiple public benefits, maximize public benefits whenever possible. So what does that look like exactly? We have moving forward with a new outdoor dining ordinance. We just scrapped the old one because we're trying to make it a lot cleaner and clearer. It means an expanded program that includes the option for streeteries. So our existing and previous outdoor dining program only allowed sidewalk outdoor dining. Now we will allow that option to utilize on-street public parking spaces. We are working on an outdoor dining guide. That will not go to council, but that's something to accompany these updates to make it really easy and clear for our business community and for the general public what the design standards are, safety standards, and we're including best practices within that as well to help encourage kind of an elevated standard when possible. Updated fees. That will be going to council, and those fees support management and goals of the program moving forward.
The city has a stormwater construction project underway on College Street, which is causing street closures. This has led to traffic detours in the area. The project is estimated to take about 3 weeks to complete. Once finished, the street closures impacting traffic flow will be removed. This has been the Civic Roundup for September 6th, 2023. Our theme music is by Espy.